This is the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast where powerful women rise, lead, and own the room. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host, fellow trailblazer, and unapologetic advocate for women in the world of business. With over 30 years of experience building success in a male-dominant industry, I'm here to empower you to do the same. Each week, you'll hear bold conversations with inspiring guests who embody strength, resilience, a little dash of sass, and a little bit of grace. Together, we'll challenge the status quo, break through barriers, unlock your confidence, and unleash your inner superhero. You ready? Let's go.
Hello, superheroes. Kimberly Borgens here. Today, we're going to talk about... Well, nobody really wants to tell women entrepreneurs. It's like, what does a CEO of a business actually do all day? Look, here's the reality. You don't need more motivation. You need to really understand what leadership actually looks like, right? What it looks like behind the scenes. And, you know, I did a little personal research for myself on who is Kimberly Borgens, your host here of Superheroes in Heels. I did an AI search, had them go out there and like do some research on Kimberly Borgens and Superheroes in Heels and what's missing and what, you know, and it got real with me and it gave me some great insights. And I thought that was good. And one of the things it says is that I don't really share the behind the scenes stuff. And so I'm going to try and do that in the next few episodes to kind of share with you some of the behind the scenes stuff about, you know, being the CEO of a business and what does it really mean and what does it take? What does the CEO actually really do? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So one of the things that I really want to talk about is that being the CEO of a business, look, I've told y'all before this in previous episodes, if you haven't heard this and you're new to listening to Superheroes in Heels, welcome. I'm glad that you're here. You know, but, you know, I was an entrepreneur. I became an entrepreneur because I was asked if I wanted to step in. And I never stepped into being the CEO of a business in the beginning. It just kind of morphed into me becoming the CEO of the company once we incorporated the business because after, you know, many years. And because we were sole proprietorship, so a partnership, right? And, you know, that's when I was an entrepreneur. And today what I'm going to do is talk to you kind of like, what's the difference? What's the gap between being an entrepreneur, being an operator of a business, and being the CEO, and what some of the biggest challenges for being a CEO really is. An entrepreneur, for example, is they're the creator of the vision. You're the person who comes up with the idea for your business. A lot of times people come up with the idea for the business because of, oh, they've been wronged in a situation and they know that they can do better than that. They experience themselves doing something and did it so well that they want to share that with other people. They got tired of being in the corporate realm and people telling them what to do and wanted to create that freedom for themselves in that. So you're the creator of the vision based on something that happened in your past. And that's how entrepreneurship really starts, is the creator of a vision. And then in there, you become an operator. If you get employees, if you have an excess amount of clients, you're doing the operation skills in essence. So you're as the operator of a business, you're the executor of the vision, right? And so you become an entrepreneur because you created the vision. You become an operator because you're executing the vision. And a lot of times, women are both. They have a small business, they're the entrepreneur, they're the operator, but they don't want to step into the title of CEO. And Entrepreneurs, look, entrepreneurs, they build, they innovate, they disrupt, they change things up. You know, that's what an entrepreneur does. They come in and go, whoa, look at me, right? The operator runs the business. They optimize their time, their energy, the products, the services, and they stabilize things so that you create the income every month, that you're getting what you need. It created a stabilizing effect, right? So ask yourself for just a quick moment, right? What should exist in your business as an entrepreneur? Because you're the visionary as the entrepreneur. You're the one who created that vision. So what should exist in your business? And as the operator of your business, it's your job to make sure that things run smoothly. So you can be the entrepreneur, the creator of the vision, and have somebody else, whether it's a virtual assistant, whether you hire somebody, to be the operator, right? You just want to be the visionary. You want to be the creator. You want to like add more to it and build more into the company as an entrepreneur. If you don't like to do the operation stuff, if you don't want to make it, optimize it, if you don't want to run the business, if you don't want to create the stabilization that's needed, the amount of income that's needed, then hire somebody else who could run it smoothly. Both are powerful. But sometimes, most of the time, as women entrepreneurs, we confuse the two pieces. And I just want to point out there's a difference, right? Entrepreneurs, they're the big thinking people. They create something from nothing. They live in possibility. They live in risk. And operators quite often, and this is where it's hard to do both of these positions, is because the operator focuses on the systems, the processes, and the performances of everything that's going on, right? They execute the strategy every single day, the day-to-day operations, right? Entrepreneurs dream it up, right? And operators make sure it doesn't fall apart. And that's hard sometimes to be both as an entrepreneur and an operator in business. It really is a challenge because you have to play both sides of that field. And many entrepreneurs quit, go back to a job because they never realized that they needed to have an operator. And they themselves were not designed to be the operator. And it's not good, bad, right, or wrong. It's paying attention to it, knowing what your role is. If you want to be the entrepreneur, be the entrepreneur. If you know that once you create the vision, now you have to execute it. Now you have to do the strategy. You have to, you know, make sure that you're doing this, the systems and the processes and everything that's going to keep your business moving forward. And you can live with what you created over here. You can be a weekend entrepreneur coming up with your ideas, but you must get into the operator mode if you want to expand and grow. And some of you are saying, oh, Kimberly, I don't need to be an operator. I'm an entrepreneur. I want you to go back and take a look at all the day-to-day stuff that you're doing. And then argue with me about whether you're an operator or an entrepreneur. I can be a weekend entrepreneur. I can come up with all kinds of ideas, new things. I can go to a workshop and go, oh my gosh, I have a download from God that says, hey, this is what I need you to be doing. Okay. And that's a new vision. And then I take it back to my team and my team says, oh yeah, we love that vision. I'm like, okay, great. Now we got to operate on it. Now we got to put all the procedures into place. Got to get everybody in alignment with this, right? That's the operator style. So you can do both, but you have to understand that there is a difference between them, right? Entrepreneurs challenge the model of optimization. They do. Operators improve the existing model. Right. So that's why it's hard to be both sometimes, right? Entrepreneurs rethink the systems, right? All they want to take somebody else's system that works really, really good and reimagine it to make it work better. And a lot of times that doesn't work because we don't need to change a system that's working. Could we tweak a little bit and make it more efficient? Absolutely. But I think most of the time entrepreneurs want to take somebody else's idea and refine it, but they're not paying attention to all the operational pieces to it. And that's where they get stuck. That's when they close their business. They go back to working at a job, which is fine because nobody ever told them there was a difference. But there was more than that. See, I was an entrepreneur in the sense of coming up with ideas. But the reality is I didn't come up with the idea of the security business. It was a collaborative effort between two entrepreneurial minds in creating the vision. And then we both, you know, stepped into the operational roles. And my business partner, who is the president of the security business, he runs operations, right? Our operations management, our scheduler, HR department. That's his operational team that he has to work with and run those operations, find the new systems, the new structures, the new processes. That's his area. My area as the CEO, I oversee the large company overall, making sure that we still have a vision, making sure that our vision is being put into place. And then I also have that operational piece around the finance department, the payroll department, and our dispatch department. So we both have great teams that we work with and that we have to manage and that we have to make sure that the systems and structures and strategies are in place so we become operators more often. But then we take time out to be the visionaries. We take a weekend, we take a conversation in the evening and we create that vision. Entrepreneurs, they're comfortable with uncertainty. They like to create new opportunities, right? So step into that time and create. Operators prefer, I don't know about you, but I prefer predictability, right? I focus on consistency. I focus on results. I'm focusing on making sure that things happen. And so you see, I'm less of the entrepreneur mindset at this point as the CEO because I hold the big vision and then I operate under that to make sure everything is taken care of. Look, entrepreneurs chase what's possible. I totally get it. The chase is thrilling. It's exciting. It's fun. But operators protect what's working. So I get my head down. I do the dirty work. I do the things that are necessary as the operator of the security business. I'm much more entrepreneurial over in the Hive Hangout, in Be a Legacy, where I do business coaching, consulting, and mentoring. In the security business, I'm way more operational, right? And so know where you stand in that. Entrepreneurs love to start the business. They like to build the ideas. And operators, we scale business, right? We build the infrastructure. We put things in place so it's successful, it's safe, and continuous for everybody involved. You know, and as the business grows, the role naturally shifts from that creative energy to the operational discipline. The bigger you get, you have to have the operational discipline. Or again, maybe you don't. You can hire somebody to do it. You better trust them really well because they're the person who has to build your vision, right? You know, what got you started is not going to get you scaled, all right? Having the vision and having the ideas and being that entrepreneur is great. It gets you started, but it's not going to get you to scale. Look, I'm scaled. I have a multi-million dollar corporation because I had to step out of the entrepreneurial space and into the operator space. Do you see the difference? Entrepreneurs quite often are a one-man show, right? Or maybe like one or two people and they hire out a virtual assistant. That's great. Is the scalability where you need it to be, where you want it to be to make the income that it is that you want to make, right? Entrepreneurs, they're just amazing. I love entrepreneurs. I love entrepreneurship. I love the creative ideas, the designing and everything else. But you know what I love more is I love employing people. I love seeing things grow. I love maximizing what needs to happen in my community, having that vision of creating a safe community, right? I can't create the whole community safe all at once, but I can keep chipping away a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. I didn't build a business to become the busiest employee in my business, right? I built a business so that I could execute the value of the vision. And I want busy employees who are doing the job. Doesn't mean I'm not willing to step in when I have to. And I do quite often. But at the same time, I didn't put myself in business to be the busiest employee. I want the freedoms. I want the flexibility. I want all the things that everybody wants to become an entrepreneur for, but they forget or they don't know. And nobody ever told them that being an entrepreneur is just getting the business started. Becoming the operator of your entrepreneurial idea is really what gets you to scale. And I also want to just point out that as a CEO, right? CEOs, their idea is that they have this big vision, but they have to get buy-in from everybody who's working for them, everybody who's working with them, right? I think it's hard sometimes for people to see that the CEO is managing every decision, right? And not every single decision, because I have leaders in place who can make other decisions. I don't have to make every decision. I have people I trust to make those decisions. But you know, sometimes they don't trust themselves. And sometimes they come to the CEO and they're saying, hey, can I run something by you? Sure, run it by me, right? And quite often CEOs get into decision fatigue, right? Because they're making decisions every day. Decisions on how should this vision be? Decisions on what's the next policy or procedure that needs to be put in place? What should we refine? What needs to be improved? What are we going to need to in order to get better for our future, right? Decisions around AI at this point, right? What do we use? What do we not use? What do we allow in our business? What do we not allow in our business, right? All of these things. And people wonder why women go home from being the CEO of their business with decision fatigue, right? And it's real. Like I get home sometimes and my husband's like, well, where do you want to go for dinner? And I'm like, I don't know, just pick a spot. I can't even make another decision, right? I don't need to make a decision to brush my teeth before I go to bed. It's a habit, okay? I don't need to make a decision on which pajamas to wear because they're already folded in order. Just pick whatever's on top, right? You see what I'm saying? I don't need a decision, you know, for those kinds of things. I don't want to make a decision when I get home on what kind of food I want to make. Before I go to work, I'm going to plan out my dinner, what I'm going to have so that when I get home, I don't have to make that decision, right? Because the CEO is helping make the decisions and helping others make the best decisions. When my team comes to me, a lot of times they'll say, you know, hey, Kimberly, this is what's going on. I could use some help with this. I let them describe it to me. And then I ask them questions like, you know, how would you like to handle that? What would you like to see happen here? What do you want to do? And then they'll tell me. And if it's in alignment with our vision and our policies and procedures and our standards, then I'm all for it. Sometimes they come up with something a little hinky and I'm like, okay, hold on. Well, we can't do that because that's kind of not law. You know, we gotta be careful with that, especially with employee law and things like that. So how could we do it a little bit better without that? And I'll ask them, and sometimes they just don't get it and I have to make the decision for them. But a lot of times they're pretty good at it. So when you become the entrepreneur and then you become the operator and you're the vision holder, right? As the CEO who has to manage the team to, you know, do the operational things, the things that keep us going, the things that make us money, the things that pay the employees and pay the taxes and, you know, all of the things that are required, the insurances, all the things that are required when you have a business. Like as a CEO, we live in that space. We want to make sure that the operations are going well, that meet the standard of what the entrepreneur created to begin with, right? And then outdoing it. There's a lot of myth around flexibility in leadership. And yes, there's some flexibility in leadership, but as a leader, you have to follow the rules. And I don't mean every rule. Like there's laws of the universe. There's laws of humanity. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the legal ramifications of not doing what the state, feds, city requires of you, the local governments, all of those things. You have to do those things or you're going to end up in trouble. If you want to buck the system, go buck the system before you bring it into your business. Like, go challenge it. Go become the mayor of your town. Go challenge those things and try to get them changed with good reason and get enough people to support you in that context, then great. But until that happens, these are laws and you don't want to be shut down and you don't want to be fined and you don't want to, you know, have the consequences of bucking the system. Trust me, it's just not worth it. But look, CEOs really spend their time in the real day-to-day life of running a business. It's not always pretty. I spoke previously about, talking to employees on the phone and they don't have a clue necessarily that they're talking to the CEO. I don't answer the phone and say, "Hello, this is Kimberly, the CEO of the business. How can I help you?" That's not how I answer the phone. Like, Delta Protective Services, how can I help you? Right? I answer the phone and people will say to me, "Is this Kimberly?" I'm like, "How can I help you?" Like, I'm not, it's not about me as the CEO as much as it's about running the day-to-day operations of a security business. Right? You get in every day, you check in with people. I check in with my team who are in my office. I sit down with them. I'm like, "How's your weekend? What happened this weekend? Like, how are you doing? Right? What do you need help with this week?" I actually do that on a regular basis. When I see somebody's having a bad day in my office, I go and I sit down. I'm like, "Hey, you okay?" I check in with them because them bringing that bad day affects everybody else in the office. I went to one person recently and I said, "Are you okay? Are you mad at me about something?" She said, "I'm not mad at you." I said, "Well, then are you okay?" She said, "Well, I'm going through some things." And she shared a little bit. And I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that, right? You know, how can I help?" It was personal stuff, right? But I'm willing to sit there and see. I thought she's mad at me about something. I didn't know what I did this time, right? But she said, "I'm not mad at you. I just don't feel good. This is what's going on, you know, da, da, da." And we talked about it for a minute. And you know what? Ever since then, I didn't really give her any great advice. That wasn't my space, but she's been in a much better mood because somebody checked in with her, right? So it's the everyday stuff. Then I go and I check the numbers. I find out what's going on with my numbers, right? I have to check in with my emails. You know, I get more than 200 emails a day, right? And guess what? Some of them get missed. And that's just in the security email. I have my other emails too. And sometimes when I get so caught up in the everyday stuff of the security business, then the consulting business kind of suffers a little bit. I didn't get to those emails yet, right? Especially when I have issues with a client or a vehicle, you know, or employee or a financial issue. Like a perfect example recently, where I sent out all the invoices, you know, as a team, we sent out the invoices to our clients and we got bounce backs from these invoices that said the exchange server certification is expired. And I'm like, "What?" So I reach out to my IT people and my IT people said, "Oh, it's not our exchange server. We're up to date on all of our certifications." I said, "Great." So we go back to our software company and it's been a month. For a month, we've been trying to get that fixed. I had to adjust and pivot and resend invoices from my personal email from my business email personally instead of the email from our software service, right? It's another email, it goes out, but because of their exchange server, their certifications are not up to date. It's not going out to my clients. So I had about 7 clients that I had to, most of them went out, but 7 of them did not. So I had to go back and resend those to those 7 clients for the past, now we're this, 3 weeks so far. This Friday will be the 4th week, and we keep getting run around from the IT, their IT department, right? So I have my IT department arguing with their IT department on the exchange server and how that needs to get fixed, but they don't seem to understand how they need to fix their exchange server. Look, that's about as geek as you're getting from me when it comes to technology, but I do know about exchange servers. So, because I know at one point our exchange server, the certification expired, and I had to like get my team on that. And once they fixed it, everything was fine. I've already been through the exchange server certification issues, right? So here I am again, but now it's on the other side with a, you know, with our software company. And so it's just the everyday life. Things come up. We're dealing with these things. It's the unexpected fires that we have to put out, you know, versus the planned strategy. Like I planned my day, but it doesn't mean everything goes as planned, right? Sometimes people call you and want to delegate things to you, and then you have to delegate it to somebody else, right? It's all of these things that add up as the CEO. The entrepreneur creates the vision. The operator executes the vision, but the CEO drives the vision. The CEO puts it all together and finds a way to create the team that can put it all together so that the entrepreneur gets the credit that they need, right? That they feel like their vision is being taken care of. And the CEO just manages that, oversees it, makes sure all the things are done so that the vision lives. And not only that the vision lives, but the vision thrives, right? I have ideas that I created as the entrepreneur that we're adding in. And as the CEO, I'm adding in these new ideas, but I don't always have everybody who wants to back it. Sometimes it's timelines with contractors and, you know, building people and, you know, all of these clients and, you know, all the stuff that it comes together. It takes a community to bring together the big vision, and not always does the community come together. So, you know, think about it for yourself is, you know, where are you at? Look, most women in business start as an entrepreneur. Then we get trapped in performing as operators because nobody ever described what that was. Then you become the scheduler, right? I've been the scheduler in my business. I do one shift, one group of people, I schedule their hours. Then you become the fixer and you become the approver. Sometimes you're even the bottleneck, right? The one who's holding up the whole process. As the entrepreneur, you want to be the visionary, the strategist. You want to be the CEO. You didn't build a business to become the busiest employee, right? So you have to decide how you want to play, right? I can be an entrepreneur, a weekend entrepreneur for my business, but at this point, I'm the CEO who oversees the operators, who then oversees the vision that the entrepreneur made. The gap between building the business and being buried by it can sometimes feel overwhelming and you don't want to move forward in it. But guess what? You do. You want to do it. So think about your business for a minute. Did you start your business to build freedom? Or did you create yourself a 60-hour job? You can be an entrepreneur and have people who operate for you. You can be an entrepreneur who has people to operate for you, and you can be the entrepreneur that has a CEO running everything so that they manage the operators. But you have to decide. The first thing I think that you want to decide is define yourself between the two roles of being an entrepreneur and being an operator. Right? You're the entrepreneur, you're the visionary, you're the builder. You want to get out there. Are you operating? Do you want to operate? Is that your gifts? Is that your skill set? If not, maybe it's time to hire an operator so that you can actually build and create the visions for it. You don't have to have a CEO under you. You are it, right? But you do need to decide the entrepreneur side, the operator side. Most women fail because they're not capable of doing both. They stall because the role never shifts, because they never knew that there was two different roles in running a business, the two main roles, right? There's the starting phase, the exciting, the creative, and then there's the growth phase. Buried in emails, buried in payroll, people issues, client issues, all of those things. Which one do you want to do? Like I say, make a choice, take an action. Identify some of the things that is holding you back or keeping you stuck. Like if everything needs your approval, if you have people working for you and everything needs your approval, right? Then maybe you're stuck in operator's mode and you still want to be in entrepreneur mode. If you can't step away, if your growth depends on you being present all the time, if you're exhausted, but you're still busy, then you're more likely playing an entrepreneur or playing an operational role that you don't want to play. If being an operator is not the goal, that's okay. It can be a phase until you hire somebody to do it, but know where you're at. Okay? I just want you to know that a lot of people don't talk about it. Entrepreneurs get overwhelmed. They get stuck. They are trying to figure out why they're failing. And it's not that you're failing at being an entrepreneur. You're failing at being an operator. And you can decide if you want to do both. But then categorize it. Call it what it is. I'm a business CEO. I oversee the operators. I collaborate with the entrepreneur to make sure that the vision stays in place. What is your role? I challenge you today. Define it. Are you the everyday entrepreneur? Can you be a weekend entrepreneur and a weekday operations person? Be your own operations manager? Are you the CEO who's going to collaborate with all sides, do a little bit of the entrepreneur mindset, but really dig into making sure the vision is taken care of with operators who are set there? Being an operator is a doer. Being an entrepreneur is a visionary. Managers are about delegating. Being a leader is about ownership and outcomes. And being a CEO, that's about vision and scale. Seeing the vision and making it bigger. So what are you doing today? Where on the ladder are you? Okay, let me wrap this up with saying, superheroes, look, entrepreneurs create the opportunity. Operators create the outcome, but CEOs, they design a business that doesn't depend on either one. We depend on the vision and the scaling and making it all come to life. If you're not calling yourself the CEO, then you're the entrepreneur or the operations or a combination thereof. How do you see yourself winning in the future? Decide that today. Figure that out. I hope this was helpful for you to break it down a little bit. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host here on Superheroes and Heels. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to Superheroes and Heels with Kimberly Borgens. If you're walking away feeling a little braver, a little bolder, and a whole lot more powerful, mission accomplished. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. It helps us to reach more women who are ready to unleash their power and lead with confidence. And if you do leave a review, you might just hear your name in an upcoming episode. If today's conversation lit a fire in you, share it with your network and join us inside the Hive Society at KimberlyBorgens.com, where powerful women gather to break barriers and rise together. Until next time, keep showing up, standing strong, and heels or not, keep embracing your inner superhero.